Medical Ministry, Section 4, Our Medical College. In the Providence of God. Sunday, April 15, the beautiful buildings and grounds of the Loma Linda Sanitarium were solemnly dedicated to the service of God. During the exercises, the people were told of the remarkable providences that had attended every step taken to secure the property. The purpose we have in view in the establishment of many sanitariums was also dwelt upon. I was present at the meeting only a portion of the time, and spoke with freedom for nearly half an hour on the advantages of outdoor life in the treatment of disease. I tried to make it plain that sanitarium physicians and helpers were to cooperate with God in combating disease, not only through the use of the natural remedial agencies He has placed within our reach, but also by encouraging their patients to lay hold on divine strength through obedience to the commandments of God. One of the chief advantages of situation at Loma Linda is the pleasing variety of charming scenery on every side. But more important than magnificent scenery and beautiful buildings and spacious grounds is the close proximity of this institution to a densely populated district and the opportunity thus afforded of communicating to many, many people a knowledge of the third angel's message. We are to have clear spiritual discernment, else we shall fail of understanding the opening providences of God that are preparing the way for us to enlighten the world. The great crisis is just before us. Now is the time for us to sound the warning message by the agencies that God has given us for this purpose. Let us remember that one most important agency is our medical missionary work. Never are we to lose sight of the great object for which our sanitariums are established, the advancement of God's closing work in the earth. To be an educational center. Loma Linda is to be not only a sanitarium, but an educational center. With the possession of this place comes the weighty responsibility of making the work of the institution educational in character. A school is to be established here for the training of gospel medical missionary evangelists. Much is involved in this work, and it is very essential that a right beginning be made. A place to be appreciated. In Loma Linda, we have an advantageous center for the carrying on of various missionary enterprises. We can see that it was in the providence of God that this sanitarium was placed in the possession of our people. We should appreciate Loma Linda as a place which the Lord foresaw we should need and which He gave. A practical training. We have a work to do in securing the best talent and in placing these workers in positions where they can educate other workers. Then, when our sanitariums and mission fields call for physicians, we shall have young men who, through their experience gained by practical work, have become fitted to bear responsibilities. An appeal in behalf of our medical college. The proper development of the work at Loma Linda calls for prayerful thought and planning, that the instruction which the Lord has given concerning the work there may be fulfilled. The work of the medical college at Loma Linda must not be crippled for lack of room. There must be some way devised to enlarge quickly the buildings for the rooming of students, so that those who seek a training at Loma Linda may not be turned away. The students at Loma Linda are seeking for an education that is after the Lord's order, an education that will help them to develop into successful teachers and laborers for others. When their education at Loma Linda is completed, they should be able to go forth and join the intelligent workers in the world's great harvest fields who are carrying forward the work of reform that is to prepare a people to stand in the day of Christ's coming. Everywhere workers are needed to know how to combat disease and give skillful care to the sick and suffering. We should do all in our power to enable those who desire to be thus fitted for service to gain the necessary training. Our people should become intelligent in the treatment of sickness without the aid of poisonous drugs. Many should seek to obtain the education that will enable them to combat disease in its various forms by the most simple methods. Thousands have gone down to the grave because of the use of poisonous drugs who might have been restored to health by simple methods of treatment. Water treatments, wisely and skillfully given, may be the means of saving many lives. Let diligent study be united with careful treatments. Let prayers of faith be offered by the bedside of the sick. Let the sick be encouraged to claim the promises of God for themselves. To provide what is essential. The light given me is, we must provide that which is essential to qualify our youth who desire to be physicians, so that they may intelligently fit themselves to be able to stand the examinations required to prove their efficiency as physicians. They should be taught to treat understandingly the cases of those who are diseased, so that the door will be closed for any sensible physician to imagine that we are not giving in our school the instruction necessary for properly qualifying young men and young women to do the work of a physician. Continually, the students who are graduated are to advance in knowledge, for practice makes perfect. The medical school at Loma Linda is to be of the highest order, because those who are in that school have the privilege of maintaining a living connection with the wisest of all physicians, from whom there is communicated knowledge of a superior order. And for the special preparation of those of our youth who have clear convictions of their duty to obtain a medical education that will enable them to pass the examinations required by law of all who practice as regularly qualified physicians, we are to supply whatever may be required, so that these youth need not be compelled to go to medical schools conducted by men not of our faith. Thus, we shall close a door that the enemy would be pleased to have left open. And our young men and young women, whose spiritual interests the Lord desires us to safeguard, will not feel compelled to connect with unbelievers in order to obtain a thorough training along medical lines. The wisest talent called for. Loma Linda has been specified to me as a very important place, and one which demands the best Bible teacher we can supply. There are promising youth here who are to be qualified to fill important positions in the work. They should have the best class of instructors and capable Bible teachers who understand the truths of the Word. The truth and righteousness revealed in the Word of God is to be the stronghold of our workers. There has been given to me an outline of the work that must be done at Loma Linda, and I know that we must give to that place our best labors. The Lord wants the wisest talent there, for by means of our very best educational talent, we are to train our ministerial laborers. The work is to be carried after the Lord's order, and not according to the suppositions of men. The Lord has given us a wonderful advantage in enabling us to secure Loma Linda for the establishment of the work in progress there. A school is to be built up at Loma Linda that will train Bible workers and missionary nurses for efficient service. The classes of workers to be trained. The cause of God today would have been far in advance of what it is, had we in former years been more active in the training of nurses who, in addition to their acquirement of more than ordinary skill in the care of the sick, had also learned to labor as evangelists in soul-winning service. It is for the training of such workers, as well as for the training of physicians, that the school at Loma Linda has been founded. In this school, many workers are to be qualified with the ability of physicians to labor not in professional lines as physicians, but as medical missionary evangelists. This training is to be in harmony with the principles underlying true higher education. The cause is in need of hundreds of workers who have received a practical and thorough education in medical lines and who are also prepared to labor from house to house as teachers, Bible workers, and coal porters. Such students should come out of the school without having sacrificed the principles of health reform or their love for God and righteousness. Those who take advanced training in nursing and go forth into all parts of the world as medical missionary evangelists cannot expect to receive from the world the honor and the rewards that often come to fully accredited physicians. Yet, as they go about their work of teaching and of healing, and link up closely with God's servants who have been called to the ministry of His Word, His blessing will rest upon their labors, and marvelous transformations will be wrought. In a special sense, they will be His helping hand. To prepare for many lines of work. There is a very precious work to be done in connection with the interests of the sanitarium and school at Loma Linda, and this will be done when all work to that end. The Word of God is to be our lesson book. In the unity that is coming in among our people, we can see that God is working in our midst. In our school at Loma Linda, many can be educated to work as missionaries in the cause of health and temperance. The best teachers are to be employed in this educational work, not men who esteem highly their own capabilities, but men who will walk circumspectly, depending wholly upon the Lord. If the teachers in medical lines will stand in their lot and place, we shall see a good work done. My soul is drawn out in earnest prayer to God that He will preserve the honest in heart from being led astray by those who are themselves in confusion and darkness. Teachers are to be prepared for many lines of work. Schools are to be established in places where no efforts have been made. Truth, Bible truth, is to be presented in many places. Christ is represented as identifying Himself with all the needy upon earth when He says, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." All should put forth efforts to enlarge their experience. We are in a most critical situation, but Christ identifies Himself with our necessities. Christians are to learn daily of Christ. Spiritual sinew and muscle are now needed to work out right principles in every city and town and village. Varied talents are to be appreciated and cultivated, and withal we need true wisdom. We may not see our need of counseling with God, but the true Christian in every place will inquire what is the will of the Lord concerning his individual work. The work of promulgating the principles of health reform, which the Lord has outlined to us, must be accomplished. When we study the self-denial of Christ and make His life our example, truth and righteousness will prevail among us. We will esteem as of highest value the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Women to be especially trained. I have words of instruction for you and your co-workers who are ministers and physicians and counselors at Loma Linda. In a remarkable way, God has brought into our possession some of the institutions through whose agency we are to accomplish the work of reformation to which, as a people, we are called. At this time, every talent of every worker should be regarded as a sacred trust to be used in extending the work of reform. The Lord instructed me that our sisters who have received a training that has fitted them for positions of responsibility are to serve with faithfulness and discernment in their calling, using their influence wisely and, with their brethren in the faith, obtaining an experience that will fit them for still greater usefulness. In ancient times, the Lord worked in a wonderful way through consecrated women who united in His work with men whom He had chosen to stand as His representatives. He used women to gain great and decisive victories. More than once in times of emergency, He brought them to the front and worked through them for the salvation of many lives. There are many who have ability to stand with their husbands in sanitarium work, to give treatments to the sick, and to speak words of counsel and encouragement to others. There are those who should seek an education that will fit them to act the part of physicians. In this line of service, a positive work needs to be done. Women, as well as men, are to receive a thorough medical training. They should make a special study of the diseases common to women, that they may understand how to treat them. It is considered most essential that men desiring to practice medicine shall receive the broad training necessary for the following of such a profession. It is just as essential that women receive such training and obtain their diplomas, certifying their right to act as physicians. Our institutions should be especially thorough in giving to women a training that will fit them to act as midwives. There should be in our sanitariums lady physicians who understand well their profession and who can attend women at the time of childbirth. Light has been given me that women instead of men should take the responsibility in such cases. I was directed to the Bible plan, in which at such times women acted the part of the physician. This plan should be carried out by us, for it is the Lord's plan. Again and again, light has been given me that women should be chosen and educated for this line of work. Now the time has come when we should face the matter clearly. More women should be educated for this work, and thus a door of temptation may be closed. We should allow no unnecessary temptation to be placed in the way of physicians and nurses, or the people for whom they minister. No compromise. I am instructed to say that in our educational work, there is to be no compromise in order to meet the world's standards. God's commandment-keeping people are not to unite with the world to carry various lines of work according to worldly plans and worldly wisdom. Our people are now being tested as to whether they will obtain their wisdom from the greatest teacher the world ever knew, or seek to the God of Ekron. Let us determine that we shall not be tied by so much as a thread to the educational policies of those who do not discern the voice of God and who will not hearken to His commandments. We are to take heed to the warning, "Enter ye in at the strait gate." Those who walk in the narrow way are following in the footprints of Jesus. The light from heaven illuminates their path. Shall we represent before the world that our physicians must follow the pattern of the world before they can be qualified to act as successful physicians? This is the question that is now testing the faith of some of our brethren. Let not any of our brethren displease the Lord by advocating in their assemblies the idea that we need to obtain from unbelievers a higher education than that specified by the Lord. The representation of the great teacher is to be considered an all-sufficient revelation. Those in our ranks who qualify as physicians are to receive only such education as is in harmony with these divine truths. Some have advised that students should, after taking some work at Loma Linda, complete their medical education in worldly colleges. But this is not in harmony with the Lord's plan. God is our wisdom, our sanctification, and our righteousness. Facilities should be provided at Loma Linda that the necessary instruction in medical lines may be given by instructors who fear the Lord and who are in harmony with His plans for the treatment of the sick. I have not a word to say in favor of the world's ideas of higher education in any school that we shall organize for the training of physicians. There is danger in their attaching themselves to worldly institutions and working under the ministrations of worldly physicians. Satan is giving his orders to those whom he has led to depart from the faith. I would now advise that none of our young people attach themselves to worldly medical institutions in the hope of gaining better success or stronger influence as physicians. Christ's part and ours. The Savior's work of ministering to suffering humanity was always combined with his ministry of the word. He preached the gospel and he healed infirmities, both by the same mighty power. He will do the same today. But we must do our part by bringing the sick in touch with the mighty healer. The Savior left the courts of glory and came to our world to bear temptation and resist evil, that man might have power to take hold of his strength. The soul that comes to Christ by living faith receives his power and is healed of his disease. Today, we are combining the work of ministry and of healing as we have never done before. We are working to educate our people how to treat the body in sickness, how to regain health, and how to keep well when health is restored. Genuine missionaries as pioneers. One night, I was awakened and instructed to write a straight testimony regarding the work of our school at Loma Linda. By that school, a solemn and sacred work was to be done. The teachings of health reform were to stand out clearly and brightly, that all the youth in attendance might learn to practice them. All our educators should be strict health reformers. The Lord desires that genuine missionaries shall go out as pioneers from our schools. They are to be fully consecrated to the work as laborers together with God, daily enlarging their sphere of usefulness and becoming more fully sanctified through the truth. The influence of a consecrated medical missionary teacher in our schools is invaluable. The medical student. While seeking a preparation for his life work, the medical student should be encouraged to attain the highest possible development of all his powers. His studies, taxing though they are, need not necessarily undermine his physical health or lessen his enjoyment of spiritual things. Throughout his course of study, he may continually grow in grace and in a knowledge of truth, while at the same time he may be constantly adding to the store of knowledge that will make him a wise practitioner. To medical students, I would say, enter upon your course of study with a determination to do right and to maintain Christian principles. Flee temptation and avoid every influence for evil. Preserve your integrity of soul. Maintain a conscientious regard for truth and righteousness. Be faithful in the smaller responsibilities, and show yourselves to be close, critical thinkers, having soundness of heart and uprightness, being loyal to God and true to mankind. Opportunities. Opportunities are before you. If studious and upright, you may obtain an education of the highest value. Make the most of your privileges. Be not satisfied with ordinary attainments. Seek to qualify yourselves to fill positions of trust in connection with the Lord's work in the earth. United with the God of wisdom and power, you may become intellectually strong and increasingly capable as soul winners. You may become men and women of responsibility and influence, if, by the power of your will, coupled with divine strength, you earnestly engage in the work of securing a proper training. Exercise the mental powers, and in no case neglect the physical. Let not intellectual slothfulness close up your path to greater knowledge. Learn to reflect as well as to study, that your minds may expand, strengthen, and develop. Never think that you have learned enough and that you may now relax your efforts. The cultivated mind is the measure of the man. Your education should continue during your lifetime. Every day you should be learning and putting to practical use the knowledge gained. In order for you to become men and women that can be depended upon, there must be a growth of the powers, the exercise of every faculty, even in little things. Then greater power is acquired to bear larger responsibilities. Individual responsibility and accountability are essential. In putting into practice that which you are learning during your student days, Do not shrink from bearing your share of responsibility because there are risks to take, because something must be ventured. Do not leave others to be brains for you. You must train your powers to be strong and vigorous. Then the entrusted talents will grow as a steady, uniform, unyielding energy is exercised in bearing individual responsibility. God would have you add, day by day, little by little, to your stock of ideas, acting as if the moments were jewels to be carefully gathered and discreetly cherished. You will thus acquire breadth of thought and strength of intellect. No wasted hours. God will not require of man a more strict account of anything than of the way in which he has occupied his time. Have its hours been wasted and abused? God has granted to us the precious boon of life, not to be devoted to selfish gratification. Our work is too solemn, our time to serve God and our fellow men too short to be spent in seeking for fame. Oh, if men would stop in their aspirations where God has set the bounds, what different service would the Lord receive? Thoroughness. There are many who are in such haste to climb to distinction that they skip some of the rounds of the ladder, and in so doing, lose experience which they must have in order to become intelligent workers. In their zeal, the knowledge of many things looks unimportant to them. They skim over the surface and do not go deep into the mine of truth. Thus, by a slow and painstaking process, gaining an experience that will enable them to be of special help to others. We want our medical students to be men and women who are most thorough and who feel it their duty to improve every talent lent them, that they may finally double their entrusted capital. The light that God has given in medical missionary lines will not cause his people to be regarded as inferior in scientific medical knowledge, but will fit them to stand upon the highest eminence. God would have them stand as a wise and understanding people because of his presence with them. In the strength of him who is the source of all wisdom, all grace, defects and ignorance may be overcome. A high aim. Let every medical student aim to reach a high standard. Under the discipline of the greatest of all teachers, our course must ever tend upward to perfection. All who are connected with the medical missionary work must be learners. Let no one stop to say, "I cannot do this." Let him say instead, "God requires me to be perfect. He expects me to work away from all commonness and cheapness, and to strive after that which is of the highest order." There is only one power that can make medical students what they ought to be and keep them steadfast, the grace of God and the power of the truth exerting a saving influence upon life and character. These students who intend to minister to suffering humanity will find no graduating place this side of heaven. That knowledge which is termed science should be acquired, while the seeker daily acknowledges that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Everything that will strengthen the mind should be cultivated to the utmost of their power, while at the same time they should seek God for wisdom. For unless they are guided by the wisdom from above, they will become an easy prey to the deceptive power of Satan. They will become large in their own eyes, pompous and self-sufficient. Integrity of students. The teachers in our medical college should encourage the students to gain all the knowledge they can in every department. If they find any students deficient in caretaking, in a comprehension of their responsibilities, they should lay the matter frankly before such ones, giving them an opportunity to correct their habits and to reach a higher standard. The teachers should not become discouraged because some are slow to learn. Neither should they discourage the students when mistakes are made. As errors and defects are kindly pointed out, the students, in turn, should feel grateful for any instruction given. A haughty spirit on the part of the students should not be encouraged. All should be willing to learn, and the teachers should be willing to instruct, training the students to be self-reliant, competent, careful, painstaking. As the students study under wise instructors and unite with them in sharing responsibilities, they may, by the aid of the teachers, climb to the topmost round of the ladder. Students should be willing to work under those of experience, to heed their suggestions, to follow their advice, and to go as far as possible in thought, training, and intelligent enterprise. But they should never infringe upon a rule, never disregard one principle that has been interwoven with the upbuilding of the institution. The dropping down is easy enough. The disregard of regulations is natural to the heart inclined to selfish ease and gratification. It is much easier to tear down than to build up. One student with careless ideas may do more to let down the standard than 10 men with all their effort can do to counteract the demoralizing influence. Without boasting. God-fearing physicians speak modestly of their work, but novices with limited experience in dealing with the bodies and souls of men will often speak boastingly of their knowledge and attainments. These need a better understanding of themselves. Then they would become more intelligent in regard to their duties and would realize that in every department where they have to labor, they must possess a willing mind, an earnest spirit, and a hearty, unselfish zeal in trying to do others good. They will not study how best to preserve their dignity, but by thoughtfulness and caretaking will earn a reputation for thoroughness and exactitude, and by sympathetic ministry will gain the hearts of those whom they serve. In the medical profession, there are many skeptics and atheists who exalt the works of God above the God of science. Comparatively few of those who enter worldly medical colleges come out from them pure and unspotted. They have failed to become elevated, ennobled, sanctified. Material things eclipse the heavenly and eternal. With many, religious faith and principles are mingled with worldly customs and practices, and pure and undefiled religion is rare. But it is the privilege of every student to enter college with the same fixed, determined principle that Daniel had when he entered the court of Babylon, and throughout his course to keep his integrity untarnished. Victory. The strength and grace of God have been provided at an infinite sacrifice, that men might be victorious over Satan's suggestions and temptations, and come forth unsullied. The life, the words, and the deportment are the most forcible argument, the most solemn appeal to the careless, irreverent, and skeptical. Let the life and character be the strong argument for Christianity. Then men will be compelled to take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus and have learned of him. Let not medical students be deceived by the wiles of the devil or by any of his cunning pretexts which so many adopt to beguile and ensnare. Stand firm to principle. At every step inquire, "What saith the Lord?" Say firmly, "I will follow the light. I will respect and honor the majesty of truth." Especially should those who are studying medicine in the schools of the world guard against contamination from the evil influences with which they are constantly surrounded. When their instructors are worldly wise men and their fellow students infidels who have no serious thought of God, even Christians of experience are in danger of being influenced by these irreligious associations. Nevertheless, some have gone through the medical course and have remained true to principle. They would not continue their studies on the Sabbath, and they have proved that men may become qualified for the duties of a physician and not disappoint the expectations of those who have encouraged them to obtain an education. Welfare of patients. In training workers to care for the sick, Let the student be impressed with the thought that his highest aim should always be to look after the spiritual welfare of his patients. He should learn to repeat the promises of God's word and to offer fervent prayers daily while preparing for service. Help him to realize that he is always to keep the sweetening, sanctifying influence of the great medical missionary before his patients. If those who are suffering can be impressed with the fact that Christ is their sympathizing, compassionate Savior, they will have rest of mind, which is so essential to recovery of health. Preparatory education. It is because of these peculiar temptations which our youth must meet in worldly medical schools that provision should be made for preparatory and advanced medical training in our own schools, under Christian teachers. Our larger Union Conference training schools in various parts of the field should be placed in the most favorable position for qualifying our youth to meet the entrance requirements specified by state laws regarding medical students. The very best teaching talent should be secured, that our schools may be brought up to the proper standard. The youth and those more advanced in years who feel it their duty to fit themselves for work requiring the passing of certain legal tests should be able to secure at our Union Conference training schools all that is essential for entrance into a medical college. Prayer will accomplish wonders for those who give themselves to prayer, watching thereunto. God desires us all to be in a waiting, hopeful position. What He has promised, He will do. And inasmuch as there are legal requirements making it necessary that medical students shall take a certain preparatory course of study, our colleges should arrange to carry their students to the point of literary and scientific training that is necessary. And not only should our larger training schools give this preparatory instruction to those who contemplate taking a medical course, but we must also do all that is essential for the perfecting of the courses of study offered by our Loma Linda College of Medical Evangelists. As pointed out about the time this school was founded, we must provide that which is essential to qualify our youth who desire to be physicians, so that they may intelligently fit themselves to stand the examinations required to prove their efficiency as physicians. They should be taught to treat understandingly the cases of those who are diseased, so that the door will be closed for any sensible physician to imagine that we are not giving in our school the instruction necessary for properly qualifying young men and women to do the work of a physician. Continually, the students who are graduated are to advance in knowledge, for practice makes perfect. Importance of Bible study. If medical students will study the Word of God diligently, they will be far better prepared to understand their other studies, for enlightenment always comes from an earnest study of the Word of God. Nothing else will so help to give them a retentive memory as a study of the Scriptures. Let our medical missionary workers understand that the more they become acquainted with God and with Christ, and the more they become acquainted with Bible history, the better prepared will they be to do their work. Bible classes. Faithful teachers should be placed in charge of the Bible classes, teachers who will strive to make the students understand their lessons, not by explaining everything to them, but by requiring them to explain clearly every passage they read. Let these teachers remember that little good is accomplished by skimming over the surface of the Word. Thoughtful investigation and earnest, taxing study are necessary to an understanding of this Word. Christ, the great medical missionary, came to this world at infinite sacrifice to teach men and women the lessons that would enable them to know God aright. He lived a perfect life, setting an example that all may safely follow. Let our medical students study the lessons that Christ has given. It is essential that they have a clear understanding of these lessons. It would be a fearful mistake for them to neglect the study of God's Word for study of theories which are misleading, which divert minds from the words of Christ to the fallacies of human production. God would have all who profess to be gospel medical missionaries learn diligently the lessons of the great teacher. This they must do if they would find rest and peace. Learning of Christ, their hearts will be filled with the peace that He alone can give. Make the Bible the man of your counsel. Your acquaintance with it will grow rapidly if you keep your minds free from the rubbish of the world. The more the Bible is studied, the deeper will be your knowledge of God. The truths of His Word will be written in your soul, making an ineffaceable impression. These things God has been opening before me for many years. In our medical missionary training schools, we need men who have a deep knowledge of the Scriptures, men who can teach these lessons to others clearly and simply, just as Christ taught His disciples that which He deemed most essential. And the needed knowledge will be given to all who come to Christ, receiving and practicing His teachings, making His Word a part of their lives. The Holy Spirit teaches the student of the Scriptures to judge all things by the standard of righteousness and truth and justice. The divine revelation supplies him with the knowledge that he needs. Those who place themselves under the instruction of the great medical missionary, to be workers together with him, will have a knowledge that the world, with all its traditionary lore, cannot supply. Development of experience. Spiritual growth. To every student who is seeking a medical education, I would say, look beyond the present. Turn away from the transitory things of this life, from selfish pursuits and gratifications. For what purpose are you seeking an education? Is it not that you may relieve suffering humanity? As the mind is enlarged by true knowledge, the heart is warmed by a sense of the goodness, compassion, and love of God. The soul is filled with an earnest longing to tell others how they may cooperate with the great master worker. You will do much for yourselves as you impart the knowledge you receive. Thus, you will gain more knowledge to impart, and your ability to work for God will increase. There are those who will suggest to you that in order to be successful in your profession, you must be a policy man. You must, at times, depart from strict rectitude. These temptations find a ready welcome in the heart of man. But I speak that which I know. Do not be deceived or deluded. Do not pamper self. Do not throw open a door through which the enemy may enter to take possession of the soul. There is danger in the first and slightest departure from the strictest rectitude. Be true to yourself. Preserve your God-given dignity in the fear of God. There is great need that every medical worker get hold and keep hold of the arm of infinite power. Be true. The policy principle is one that will assuredly lead into difficulties. He who regards the favor of men as more desirable than the favor of God will fall under the temptation to sacrifice principle for worldly gain or recognition. Thus, fidelity to God is constantly being sacrificed. Truth, God's truth, must be cherished in the soul and held in the strength of heaven, or the power of Satan will wrest it from you. Never entertain the thought that an honest, truthful physician cannot succeed. Such a sentiment dishonors the God of truth and righteousness. He can succeed, for he has God and heaven on his side. Let every bribe to dissimulate be sternly refused. Hold fast your integrity in the strength of the grace of Christ, and he will fulfill his word to you. The medical student, however young, has access to the God of Daniel. Through divine grace and power, he may become as efficient in his calling as Daniel was in his exalted position. But it is a mistake to make a scientific preparation the all-important thing, while religious principles which lie at the very foundation of a successful practice are neglected. Many are lauded as skillful men in their profession who scorn the thought that they need to rely upon Christ for wisdom in their work. But if these men who trust in their knowledge of science were illuminated by the light of heaven, to how much greater excellence might they attain? How much stronger would be their powers? With how much greater confidence could they undertake difficult cases? The man who is closely connected with the great physician has the resources of heaven and earth at his command, and he can work with a wisdom, an unerring precision, that the godless man cannot possess. Like Enoch, the physician should be a man who walks with God. This will be to him a safeguard against all the delusive, pernicious sentiments which make so many infidels and skeptics. The truth of God, practiced in the life and constantly guiding in all that concerns the interests of others, will barricade the soul with heavenly principles. God will not be unmindful of our struggles to maintain the truth. When we place every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God above worldly policy, above all the assertions of erring, failing men, we shall be guided into every good and holy way. The Christian physician, in his acceptance of the truth by his baptismal vows, has pledged himself to represent Christ, the physician in chief. But if he does not keep strict guard over himself, if he allows the barriers against sin to be broken down, Satan will overcome him with specious temptations. There will be a blemish in his character that by its evil influence will mold other minds. The moral palsy of sin will not only destroy the soul of the one who departs from strict principles, but will have the power to reproduce in others the same evil. Be steadfast. It is not safe to be occasional Christians. We must be Christ-like in our actions all the time. Then, through grace, we are safe for time and for eternity. The experimental knowledge of the power of grace received in times of trial is of more value than gold or silver. It confirms the faith of the trusting, believing one. The assurance that Jesus is to him an ever-present helper gives him a boldness that enables him to take God at his word and trust him with unwavering faith under the most trying circumstances. Our only security against falling into sin is to keep ourselves constantly under the molding influence of the Holy Spirit, at the same time engaging actively in the cause of truth and righteousness, discharging every God-given duty, but taking no burden that God has not laid upon us. Physicians and medical students must stand firm under the banner of the third angel's message, fighting the good fight of faith perseveringly and successfully, relying not on their own wisdom, but on the wisdom of God, putting on the heavenly armor, the equipment of God's word, never forgetting that they have a leader who never has been and never can be overcome by evil. Study your leader. To every medical student who desires to be an honor to the cause of God during the closing scenes of this earth's history, I would say, behold Christ, the sent of God, who in this world and in human nature lived a pure, noble, perfect life, setting an example that all may safely follow. The Lord is reaching out his hand to save. Respond to his invitation. Let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. How eagerly the Savior will take the trembling hand in his own, holding it with a warm, firm grasp until the feet are placed on vantage ground. Trust in him who understands your weakness. Keep close to the side of Christ, for the enemy stands ready to take captive everyone who is off his guard. It is young men whom the Lord claims as his helping hand. Samuel was a mere child when the Lord used him to do a good and gracious work. To those who with steadfast perseverance strive to reveal the attributes of Christ, angels are commissioned to give enlarged views of his character and work, his power and grace and love. Thus, they become partakers of his nature, and day by day grow up to the full stature of men and women in Christ. The sanctification of the Spirit is seen in thought, word, and deed. Their ministry is life and salvation to all with whom they associate. Of such ones it is declared, "Ye are complete in him." Caution needed in encouraging students. Many, knowing how trying are the duties of the physician and how few opportunities physicians have for release from care, even upon the Sabbath, will not choose this for their life work. But the great enemy is constantly seeking to destroy the workmanship of God's hands, and men of culture and intelligence are called for to combat his cruel power. More of the right kind of men are needed to devote themselves to this profession. Painstaking effort should be made to induce suitable men to qualify themselves for this work. They should be men whose characters are based upon the broad principles of the Word of God, men who possess a natural energy, force, and perseverance that will enable them to reach a high standard of excellence. It is not everyone who can make a successful physician. Many have entered upon the duties of this profession in every way unprepared. They have not the requisite knowledge, neither have they the skill and tact, the carefulness and intelligence necessary to ensure success. A physician can do much better if he has physical strength. If he is feeble, he cannot endure the wearing labor incident to his calling. A man who has a weak constitution, who is a dyspeptic, or who is lacking in self-control, cannot become qualified to deal with all classes of disease. Great care should be taken not to encourage persons who might be useful in some less responsible position to study medicine at a great outlay of time and means when there is no reasonable hope that they will succeed. I have been instructed that, in view of the trying nature of medical missionary work, those who desire to take up this line should first be thoroughly examined by competent physicians to ascertain whether or not they have the strength necessary to endure the course of study through which they must pass in the training school. A call for the best talent. The Lord calls for the best talents to be united in this center, Loma Linda, for the carrying on of the work as He has directed. Not the talent that will demand the largest salary, but the talent that will place itself on the side of Christ to work in His lines. We must have medical instructors who will teach the science of healing without the use of drugs. We are to prepare a company of workers who will follow Christ's methods. The High Order of the Loma Linda School. Here we have ideal advantages for a school and for a sanitarium. Here are advantages for the students and great advantages for the patients. I have been instructed that here we should have a school conducted on the principles of the ancient schools of the prophets. It may not be carried on in every respect, as are the schools of the world, but it is to be especially adapted for those who desire to devote their lives not to commercial pursuits, but to unselfish service for the Master. We want a school of the highest order, a school where the Word of God will be regarded as essential, and where obedience to its teachings will be taught. For the carrying forward of such a school, we must have carefully selected educators. Our young people are not to be wholly dependent on the schools where they are told, "If you wish to complete your course of instruction, you must take this study or some other study," studies that perhaps would be of no practical benefit to those whose only desire is to give to the world God's message of health and peace. In the education that many receive, there are not only subjects that are non-essential, but much that is decidedly objectionable. We should endeavor to give instruction that will prepare students quickly for service to their fellow men. We are to seek for students who will plow deep into the Word of God and who will conform the life practice to the truths of the Word. Let the education given be such as will qualify consecrated young men and young women to go forth in harmony with the Great Commission. Physicians are to receive their education here. Here they are to receive such a mold that when they go out to labor, they will not seek to grasp the very highest wages or else do nothing. Who should apply? Only those whose hearts are filled with the love of God and who reveal that Christ has given them His grace to adorn their office work as missionaries for Him should make application to engage in medical missionary work. Those who take up this line of missionary effort should look upon their work as a high and holy calling. This work is committed to them as a sacred trust. And wherever they may be, the Lord expects them to reveal the excellency of their mission. Students should have moral strength. In almost every church, there are young men and women who might receive education either as nurses or physicians. I would urge that this subject be considered prayerfully, that special effort be made to select those youth who give promise of usefulness and moral strength. Strength of character essential. Many of the young men who present themselves as being desirous of being educated as physicians have not those traits of character which will enable them to withstand the temptations so common to the work of a physician. Only those should be accepted who give promise of becoming qualified for the great work of imparting the principles of true health reform. Amenable to authority. The first appearance of irregularity in conduct should be repressed, and the young should be taught to be frank, yet modest and dignified in all their associations. They should be taught to respect just rules of authority. If they refuse to do this, let them be dismissed, whatever position they occupy, or they will demoralize others. Mental and physical effort proportionate. Youth who are kept in school and confined to close study cannot have sound health. Mental effort without corresponding physical exercise calls an undue proportion of blood to the brain, and thus the circulation is unbalanced. The brain has too much blood, while the extremities have too little. The hours of study and recreation should be carefully regulated, and a portion of the time should be spent in physical labor. When the habits of students in eating and drinking, dressing and sleeping are in accordance with physical law, they can obtain an education without sacrificing health. The lesson must be often repeated and pressed home to the conscience that education will be of little value if there is no physical strength to use it after it is gained. Students should not be permitted to take so many studies that they will have no time for physical training. The health cannot be preserved unless some portion of each day is given to muscular exertion in the open air. Stated hours should be devoted to manual labor of some kind, anything which will call into action all parts of the body. Equalize the taxation of the mental and physical powers, and the mind of the student will be refreshed. If he is diseased, physical exercise will often help the system to recover its normal condition. When students leave college, they should have better health and a better understanding of the laws of life than when they entered it. The health should be as sacredly guarded as the character. Dull minds and dietetic errors. Many students are deplorably ignorant of the fact that diet exerts a powerful influence upon the health. Some have never made a determined effort to control the appetite or to observe proper rules in regard to diet. They eat too much, even at their meals, and some eat between meals whenever the temptation is presented. If those who profess to be Christians desire to solve the questions so perplexing to them, why their minds are so dull, why their religious aspirations are so feeble, they need not, in many instances, go farther than the table. Here is cause enough, if there were no other. The teacher's health habits. Many separate themselves from God by their indulgence of appetite. He who notices the fall of a sparrow, who numbers the very hairs of the head, marks the sin of those who indulge perverted appetite at the expense of weakening the physical powers, benumbing the intellect, and deadening the moral perceptions. The teachers themselves should give proper attention to the laws of health, that they may preserve their own powers in the best possible condition, and by example as well as by precept, may exert a right influence upon their pupils. The teacher whose physical powers are already enfeebled by disease or overwork should pay special attention to the laws of life. He should take time for recreation. He should not take upon himself responsibility outside of his schoolwork which will so tax him, physically or mentally, that his nervous system will be unbalanced. For in this case, he will be unfitted to deal with minds and cannot do justice to himself or to his pupils. Our institutions of learning should be provided with every facility for instruction regarding the mechanism of the human system. Students should be taught how to breathe, how to read and speak so that the strain will not come on the throat and lungs, but on the abdominal muscles. Teachers need to educate themselves in this direction. Our students should have a thorough training that they may enter upon active life with an intelligent knowledge of the habitation which God has given them. Teach them that they must be learners as long as they live, and while you are teaching them, remember that they will teach others. Your lessons will be repeated for the benefit of many more than sit before you day by day. Educate in the simplicity of Christ. The Lord has instructed us that in our institutions of education, we should ever be striving for the perfection of character to be found in the life of Christ and in His instruction to His disciples. Having received our commission from the highest authority, we are to educate, educate, educate in the simplicity of Christ. Our aim must be to reach the highest standard in every feature of our work. He who healed thousands with a touch and a word is our physician. The precious truths contained in his teachings are to be our front guard and our rear ward. The standard set for our sanitariums and schools is a high one, and a great responsibility rests upon the physicians and teachers connected with these institutions. Efforts should be made to secure teachers who will instruct after Christ's manner of teaching, regarding this of more value than any human methods. Let them honor the educational standards established by Christ, and following His instruction, give their students lessons in faith and in holiness. Christ was sent of the Father to represent His character and will. Let us follow His example in laboring to reach the people where they are. Teachers who are not particular to harmonize with the teachings of Christ and who follow the customs and practices of worldly physicians are out of line with the charge that the Savior has given us. Count the cost. I have had presented before me the fact that in your class of medical missionary students are those whose first work should be to understand themselves, to count the cost and know when they begin to build whether they are able to finish. Let not God be dishonored by breaking down the man in the process of educating him, for a broken down, discouraged man is a burden to himself. To think that in any work that he may plan to do, God will sustain him, while he piles upon himself studies and subjects himself to exposures that imperil health and life and violate the laws of nature, is contrary to the light that God has given. Nature will not be imposed upon. She will not forgive the injuries done to the wonderful, delicate machinery. The pale, weak student is a continual reproach to health reform. Far better would it be for students to go outdoors and work in the soil. Exercise is good. God designs that all parts of the human machinery shall be worked. There should be regular hours for working, regular hours for eating, without studying the exact cost of every article of food and providing the cheapest kind. Procure those articles of food that are the best for making steam to run the living machinery. There is no extravagance in providing those articles of food that the system can best take in and digest and send to every part of the living organization that all may be nourished. He must know himself. This is the first duty of every student. No one is to measure out what he supposes his fellow student is capable of doing. Let every student reason soundly regarding what he can endure. Each has an individuality that no one can handle as successfully as himself. No one can submerge his identity in another's. He must know himself and give himself a favorable chance to come forth with an unbroken constitution, with a clear mind, with well-balanced nerves, and a good digestion. With these, he will be fitted to do the work he has qualified himself to do. If he disqualifies himself by imprudence, by eating hurriedly because he has little time to spend, he is unfitting himself for ever doing sound, wholesome work. Accountability to God. The first and highest and most acceptable missionary work that the student can do is to obey God in all he undertakes, in every action of the wonderful machinery God devised in the formation of man. He is not to treat himself indifferently. He is to know himself and work with an intelligent knowledge of what he can do and do safely, and what he should avoid in eating and in working. A disordered stomach means a disordered mind. I would say to each student, you need to take yourself in hand and let no one whip up your tired nerves and muscles to meet his individual measurement. You are God's workmanship, and under a full sense of your accountability to God, you are to treat yourself aright. Give yourself proper time to sleep. They who sleep give nature time to build up and repair the weary waste of the organism. Overtaxing the body. You can do the very best home missionary work by taking care of God's temple. Do not presume to overtax this wonderful machinery, lest some part give way and bring your work to a standstill. I am pained as I have presented to me students who are being educated to work for the salvation of the souls and bodies of those perishing around them, but who will themselves perish before they can accomplish that for which they are striving so earnestly. Will all teachers and students learn before they go any further how to treat themselves, that they may intelligently cooperate with God to bear His message, to do His work, and not be cut off at the very time when they are most needed? Manual labor in the schools. In all our educational institutions, physical and mental work should have been combined. In vigorous physical exercise, the animal passions find a healthy outlet and are kept in proper bounds. Healthful exercise in the open air will strengthen the muscles, encourage a proper circulation of blood, help to preserve the body from disease, and will be a great help in spirituality. For many years it has been presented to me that teachers and students should unite in this work. This was done anciently in the schools of the prophets. Study practical matters. Too great devotion to study, even of true science, creates an abnormal appetite, which increases as it is fed. This creates a desire to secure more knowledge than is essential to do the work of the Lord. The pursuit of knowledge merely for its own sake diverts the mind from devotion to God and checks advance along the path of practical holiness. The Lord Jesus imparted only such a measure of instruction as could be utilized. The minds of the disciples were often excited by curiosity, but instead of gratifying their desire to know things which were not necessary for the proper conduct of their work, He opened new channels of thought to their minds. He gave them much needed instruction upon practical godliness. Intemperance in study. Intemperance in study is a species of intoxication, and those who indulge in it, like the drunkard, wander from safe paths and stumble and fall in the darkness. The Lord would have every student bear in mind that the eye must be kept single to the glory of God. He is not to exhaust and waste his physical and mental powers in seeking to acquire all possible knowledge of the sciences, but is to preserve the freshness and vigor of all his powers to engage in the work which the Lord has appointed him in helping souls to find the path of righteousness. Not amusements, but consecrated work. There are some who feel that if there is prosperity here, Loma Linda, it will be necessary to get up some amusement. Let us not cherish such thoughts as this. Rather, let the people see that you have a mind for usefulness and duty, and that to the saving of the soul. The amusements that consume time, just to gratify self, do not pay. Some will think that by having amusements here, we will gain more influence. But what we want is to go steadily forward, with our hands firmly holding the divine promise, believing that Christ will lead and guide and bless and place a heavenly stamp upon our work. Do not feel that there is not enough in all that we have to do in this place for Christ and heaven, and that you must reach out for some amusement outside of your God-given work. Do not do it, for this will not harmonize with Christ's example. Stand solidly for God. Tell the students, here we have Riverside and other places. If you want to do a good work, take our publications and carry them to these places. Hold meetings and let the people see that you have a living connection with heaven. Missionary labor. Encourage the students to greater activity in missionary labor while taking their course of study. Let not truth be supplanted. Students are authorized to go to school for a certain length of time in order to acquire scientific knowledge. But in doing this, they should ever consider their physical necessities and seek their education in such a way as not to injure in the least the temple of the body. Let them be sure not to indulge in any sinful practice, not to burden themselves with too many studies, not to become so absorbed in devotion to their studies that the truth will be supplanted, the knowledge of God expelled from the soul by the inventions of men. Let every moment that is devoted to study be a moment in which the soul is conscious of its God-given responsibilities. There will be no need then of enjoining the students to be true and just and to preserve their soul's integrity. They will breathe a heavenly atmosphere, and every transaction will be inspired by the Holy Spirit, and equity and righteousness will be revealed. But if the body is neglected, if unsuitable hours are consumed in study, if the mind is overtaxed, if the physical powers are left unemployed and become enfeebled, then the human machinery is trammeled, and matters that are essential for our future welfare and eternal peace are neglected. Book knowledge is made all-important, and God is dishonored. Many are ruining themselves physically, mentally, and morally by over-devotion to study. They are defrauding themselves for time and eternity through practicing habits of intemperance in seeking to gain an education. They are losing their desire to learn, in the school of Christ, lessons of meekness and lowliness of heart. Every moment that passes is fraught with eternal results. Integrity will be the sure result of following in the way of righteousness. Advice to those having limited powers of endurance. I have been instructed that, in view of the trying nature of medical missionary work, those who desire to take up this line should first be thoroughly examined by competent physicians to ascertain whether or not they have the strength necessary to endure the course of study through which they must pass in the training school. If they are not able to carry a line of mental work covering a period of 2, 3, or 5 years, as the case may be, they should be told this and counseled to spend their summer vacations in working in the open air. Or, if unable to stand the strain of constant schoolwork, they should be counseled to spend much of their time in outdoor work and to study books by themselves. If they are careful to exercise sufficiently, the brain will be clear to grasp the subjects that they study alone, and their progress will be rapid. Let them endeavor to treat the sick as they have opportunity, putting into practice the theory that they gain from the study of books. I have been instructed that in many instances, more practical knowledge can be obtained in this way than by a long course of study in a medical school. Our relation to legal requirements. Some questions have been asked me regarding our relation to the laws governing medical practitioners. We need to move understandingly, for the enemy would be pleased to hedge up our work so that our physicians would have only a limited influence. Some men do not act in the fear of God, and they may seek to bring us into trouble by placing on our necks yokes that we could not consent to bear. We cannot submit to regulations if the sacrifice of principles is involved, for this would imperil the soul's salvation. But whenever we can comply with the law of the land without putting ourselves in a false position, we should do so. Wise laws have been framed in order to safeguard the people against the imposition of unqualified physicians. These laws we should respect, for we are ourselves by them protected from presumptuous pretenders. Should we manifest opposition to these requirements, it would tend to restrict the influence of our medical missionaries. We must carefully consider what is involved in these matters. If there are conditions to which we could not subscribe, we should endeavor to have these matters adjusted so that there would not be strong opposition against our physicians. The Savior bids us be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The Lord is our leader and teacher. He charges us not to connect with those who do not acknowledge God. Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Connect with those who honor God by keeping His commandments. If the recommendation goes forth from our people that our workers are to seek for success by acknowledging as essential the education which the world gives, we are virtually saying that the influence the world gives is superior to that which God gives. God will be dishonored by such a course. God has full knowledge of the faith and trust and confidence that His professed people have in His providence. Our workers are to become intelligent in regard to Christ's life and manner of working. The Lord will help those who desire to cooperate with Him as physicians, if they will become learners of Him how to work for the suffering. He will exercise His power through them for the healing of the sick. Cooperation with the Great Physician. Intemperance and ungodliness are increasing everywhere. The work of temperance must begin in our own hearts, and the work of the physician must begin in an understanding of the works and teachings of the Great Physician. Christ left the courts of heaven that He might minister to the sick and suffering of earth. We must cooperate with the Chief of Physicians, walking in all humility of mind before Him. Then the Lord will bless our earnest efforts to relieve suffering humanity. It is not by the use of poisonous drugs that this will be done, but by the use of simple remedies. We should seek to correct false habits and practices, and teach the lessons of self-denial. The indulgence of appetite is the greatest evil with which we have to contend. The truth brought to light by Christ teaches that humanity, through obedience to the truth as it is in Jesus, may realize power to overcome the corruptions that are in the world through lust. Through living faith in the merits of Christ, the soul may be converted and transformed into Christ-likeness. Angels of God will be by the side of those who, in humbleness of mind, learn daily the lessons taught by Christ.